Thank you for listening to the podcast of Faith Baptist Church of Enfield, Connecticut. We hope and pray that these messages from Pastor Gary will be a help to you. You can find out more about our church at www.fbcenfield.com or find us on Facebook. God bless and enjoy the message.
What an awesome, awesome song, awesome time of worship this morning. And glory to be to God, but we can worship wherever we are. We can worship the Lord together. Thanks, everybody, for being here online. I want to just say one thing. Happy birthday to Tony Grimaldi. I know he's online, and I believe he's turning 80 years old today, 80 years young, we want to say. And so be praying for him and his family. 2 Timothy chapter 3, we're talking about the spirit of the last days, the spirit of the last day. We've been in this series, Is This It? In other words, are we living in the end times? Are these the end times? Now, if you talk to older people, they will often say things are different today. Things have changed. People have changed. I can remember my grandfather saying he could go to the banker and take out a loan with a handshake. I can remember coming home from furlough. My kids grew up in Romania, and we were in New Hampshire, and there was a vegetable stand, and we stopped by the vegetable stand. There was nobody there, and so there was just a bucket where you put the money in. And after being in Romania, they were kind of amazed. Their first thought was, let's take the money. But even talking to Mrs. Cleveland just recently, she has been saying more and more people are taking bait without paying. And so what does that mean? It means things are changing. People are changing. And when we talk about the last days, we see that there's going to be a different spirit. People are going to change. Things are going to be different. And as we've been studying these verses, these different passages, the knowledge or the reason we're studying the last days, because it really should affect the way we live. We learned last week that Jesus is coming, but he hasn't come yet because he wants you to be saved. And we also learned that if these things on this earth, in this earth, if everything's going to be burnt up, what manner of people should we be in all our living and all our holy living? We should be fully dedicated, wholeheartedly serving the Lord, because we know the Bible tells us what is going to happen, and it's clear. Now today, Paul is telling us, notice verse 1, he says this, but you should know this, that in the last days, difficult times will come. It'll be very difficult days. As it says in one version, perilous days will come. You should know this, Timothy, that in the last days there will be very difficult time. This word for difficult or perilous times means exceedingly fierce. It means hard to deal with. It means dangerous to deal with. And it's translated in other passages, for instance, in Matthew, as demonic. You could say we're living in demonic influence times. And Paul is writing to a young pastor, and he's saying, know this, and then the last days, it's going to be difficult times. Why is he writing this? Why is he giving us this description of the last days? Because he wants young Timothy, and he wants us today, to have a realistic understanding and view of the last days, understanding view of what we're facing and how we're going to deal with it. And I think the key verse to this passage, if you take chapter 3, the whole passage, I think the key verse is verse 12, where it says this. Yes, and all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus, it says this, will suffer persecution. And it's often been said, if you're not suffering persecution, are you really living for Christ? And the passage is trying to get Timothy's mindset and to get him to understand, not to have this idealistic that if I follow Jesus, everything's going to be perfect. No, we live in a real world. We live in an evil world. We live in a difficult world. And as we grow closer to Christ, we're going against the spirit of the age. We're going against culture. We're going against our own flesh. Paul said in Galatians chapter 5 and verse 7, he says this, "For the flesh lusts against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh, and these things are contrary one to another, so that you do not do the things that you wish." Now, in the NLT, it paraphrases it like this. The sinful nature wants to do evil, which is just the opposite of what the spirit wants. And the spirit gives us a desire that are the opposite of what the sinful nature desires. Notice how it phrases it. These two forces are constantly fighting each other, so you're not free to carry out your good intentions. This is why it's so difficult to live the Christian life. This is why it's a struggle in a battle. It's not only a struggle in our own body, in our own being. We're influenced by the spirit of this age. And so Paul is telling young Timothy, if you're going to live in the spirit, if you're going to follow my example, if you're going to live godly, a godly life in Jesus Christ, it is going to be difficult, and you're going to have to confront, you are going to have to understand, and you're going to have to realize that you are going to be influenced and confronted with the spirit of this age. Therefore, you're going to have to be strong, and you're going to have to learn to be transformed by the word of God. So let's look at these verses. Let's look at what the Bible says about the spirit of the last days. And you can ask, you can answer yourself. Are we living in the last days? Paul says this, this know also in the last days, perilous times will come, difficult times will come, exceedingly dangerous times will come. Notice what he says in verse 2, for people will be lovers of self, lovers of money, proud, arrogant, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, heartless, unappeasable, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not loving good, treacherous, reckless, swollen with conceit, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having the appearance of godliness, but denying the power. And Paul says, avoid such people. Now, we're not going to study the whole chapter, but you can read after that he actually named specific people that he had to deal with. And if you look at this list, this is not a nice list. This is not a way to describe your friends or to find out to gain friends and influence people. Paul just lays it out there. He says, this is the spirit of the last day. So I've broken them down into three categories just so we can get a hold of it. I'm not going to go through every one of these, but you can just read them, and I think it's pretty explains itself. But notice the first point I'm making is consumed with self. Consumed with self. Here are seven questions to answer if you're consumed with self. People that are consumed with self. Number one, they do not show weakness or vulnerability. Number two, they don't accept constructive criticism. Three, they believe they deserve everything. Four, they do not listen to those who do not agree with them. Five, they criticize others behind their backs. Six, they exaggerate their achievements. Seven, they are scared of taking risk. So in the last days, people will be consumed with their selves. The world, the earth, will not revolve around the sun. It will revolve around them. Jesus said, if you love your life, you will lose it. And we spend a lot of time loving ourselves. We spend a lot of time self-absorbed with our own problems, our own desires, our own people. And so we live in an age, it is very, very selfish. And so consumed with self, not only are we consumed with self, we show this in money. He said they're lovers of money. We live in a very greedy society. We live in a society that will do anything for money. I can remember when MGM opened up in Springfield. And I think the first week or the first weekend, it was like $9 million. And I'm thinking about that. We complain about poverty and we complain about all the things. But people will spend $9 million at MGM. But they'll give, you know, $5 to the church or a couple of cans of food to the food bank. So we show it with our money. And today, as you think about the drug trade, as you think about sex trafficking and taking young girls and destroying their lives, what, for money, for pleasure. Think of the lives that are destroyed today because people have no self-control. Again, he says that. They don't have self-control. They're lovers of money. They're lovers of self. And so think about how people's lives are affected just by this one thing. And then not only are we consumed with ourselves, we're careless with others. Notice it says they're heartless. Or as it says in one translation, without natural affection. In other words, they're not acting like what is normal. Think of the times we have heard that a mother will take her children in a car or somewhere. And this one instance that this mother went and drowned her and her kids in a lake. And we ask today, how can people do that? How can fathers abandon their children? How can husbands abuse their wives? We have abandonment. We have uncaring. We have lack of responsibility. All that comes from a lack of natural affection. People are heartless today. They're slanderous. I guess that's probably... We should not call it the news network anymore. We probably should call it the slanderous network because we're always slandering people, disobedient to parents, treacherous. And so all these things we see is how we treat each other and how we act towards other. We're careless today towards each other, and that comes from a love of self. And then not only that, we have contradictory lives. What I mean by that, one of them he says here is unthankful. I said in the Wednesday night Bible study, we talked about paradoxes, and one of the paradoxes was today we have more things, but yet we're less thankful. I mean, if you go in the average American home, it's how many televisions they have. It's how many conveniences they have. It's not what they don't have. Most people have two cars. I have, in my driveway, sometimes six cars. But yet we're less thankful. We're less content. And think about we have a form. And this is really where it comes down to, is where we're this contradiction, this hypocrisy. It says they have a form of godliness, but they deny the power. We have, you know, we think of this as false religions, but today we have environmentalism or all these other religious undertones in these movements because we've rejected God. So we want to feed the animals, or we want to save the whales, or we want to save the planet. And we become so engulfed in these that many of these people in these movements, they may be religious in the movements. It hasn't changed their character. That's denying the power. The denying the power means this. When we have a spirituality or a religion, but it doesn't change our character. And some of these forums, if you go on some of these forums and some of these groups, that they, whatever their particular bent is, they follow it religiously. But if you go in there and you make a comment that you're opposed to it, they'll start swearing. They'll start putting you down. They'll start wishing you were dead. We go on our college campuses, and conservative speakers need the police and bodyguards to come, because they're not even willing to entertain a contradictory or another viewpoint. That's where we've come today. We're so religious in this, but yet there's no power. There's no change. There's no godliness. And so religion, whether it's Baptist, whether it's environmentalism, without a change of heart, has no power. And so how do these things affect our lives? Why is Paul telling young Timothy this? And he tells us why. And it's this. If we're going to continue to grow, we cannot be conformed to the spirit of this age. And as we live in this life, and as we're confronted and influenced by society, if we allow that to continually influence us, it will stun our growth. We won't be able to grow because we will be influenced, and we will be following the spirit of the last days. Notice verse 10. After he gives this list, he says this: "But you have carefully followed my doctrine." So it matters what we believe, the truth. Jesus talked about, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." Manner of life, how Paul lived his life. Purpose, faith, long-suffering, love, perseverance. So Paul is telling young Timothy, this spirit of the last age is against what God is trying to do in my life. Notice verse 14. "But you must," what does he say? "Continue in the things which you have learned and been assured of, knowing from whom you have learned them." And so this is what Paul is telling young Timothy, and he's telling us today, I don't think we fully comprehend how much the spirit of this age influences us. So if you review this list, and I know when we read through this list, you were thinking about everybody else and who they apply to. But as you read through that list this morning, I want you to think about how it applies to you and how you have been influenced by the spirit of the last days. Are you willing to confront the spirit of the last days that you discover in you? That you discover in you. That spirit that is there, that spirit of selfishness, that spirit of disobedience, that spirit of unthankfulness, that spirit of unforgiven, that spirit of lack of self-control, that spirit of pride and haughtiness, that spirit of being a lover of pleasure more than a lover of God, that spirit that we grew up in, that we live in, that we're surrounded by, and every time we watch TV or listen to the news or whatever it is, that spirit of the last days is on display and is crying out to us and feeding the flesh. And so we have to remember there's a battle there. And if we're going to live godly in Christ Jesus, there's going to be persecution. There's going to be suffering. There's going to be opposition. It's like you're in a war that never ends. And you get tired. And you want a truce. But you can never have a truce with the flesh. And you can never have a truce with the devil. Because it means you're going to lose the battle. Joe and I have been reading through the book of Revelation. And this week we were reading about the seven churches. And if we read about the seven churches, they weren't the greatest spiritual examples. And we think trouble in churches are unique to our days. As long as a church has been full of people, that same amount of trouble is in the church. We're not perfect. And he wrote to the church at Sardis, and he said, hold fast to the things that you have that are almost dead. In other words, he said, you're half dead. And notice what he says in verse 3 of Revelation chapter 3. Remember, therefore, how you have received and heard. Hold fast and repent. Therefore, if you will not watch, I will come upon you as a thief, and you will not know what hour I will come upon you. And so he's saying to this church, wake up, you're half dead, wake up. I'm going to come and you're going to be sleeping. It's like Peter, instead of praying, he was sleeping and he fell into temptation. That's us today. And maybe that's us today that we don't even understand it. We're so into the culture. We're so surrounded by the culture. We're so influenced by the culture. This spirit of evil, this spirit of rebellion, this spirit of denying God. And notice it said they had a form of godliness. They didn't deny God. They didn't say God didn't exist, although we talked about that last week. There are scoffers and there are new atheists and there are people that are very bold to shake their fist in the face of God. However, there are many, many people who talk, you would think by the way they talk about God that they were Bible-believing Christians. I don't know how many times I've met people and the way they talk, I was thinking, oh, they must be Bible-believing Christians. And then they'll say things that are totally against the scriptures. Remember, Paul said, you'll know my doctrine, my manner of life. What the Bible teaches about truth is the measure of how we're living our lives, not what we think or what society thinks. And so many norms in our society have been changed. And so the question is for us, because we need to think about us, are we going to challenge ourselves to be changed, to grow, to continue to grow, and not be changed by the spirit of this age? We are in the last days. We see these attitudes in the last days. Since Jesus went up into heaven, the promise is he's going to come again. I read Matthew 24 this morning, and he talks about every eye will see him. He will come visibly. We will see him. He says here to the church at Sardis, I'm coming as a thief in the night. Be ready. Be watching. The Bible tells us to be watching. How do we do that? We watch by growing in Christ. How do we watch? By living a godly life in the midst of an evil generation. By not allowing ourselves to be conformed to the spirit of this age. I learned something this week from a Romanian pastor. When Sally Sabri came here a year and a half ago, I don't even remember saying this to him, but he wrote on Facebook, but he wrote it in Romanian, so maybe you didn't understand it if you don't have him on Facebook. But he wrote on Facebook, my friend Gary Santino, when I was coming to Connecticut, said, read about Connecticut. And so he read about Connecticut, and he posted this story about the dark day in New England. In May 9th, 1780, during the Revolutionary War, the sun came up as usual, and then it began to grow dark. Clouds came in. You could barely see the sun. And it darkened over New England as far as Portland and as south as New Jersey, where George Washington was fighting the Revolutionary War. Heavy and uncommon kinds of clouds, dark and reddish kind of light intermixed with them, brightened and darkened alternatively. This continued till afternoon when the sun began to appear. It inspired terror, panic, and puzzlement. Men prayed, women wept. Thousands left work, took off to taverns and churches for solace. Children were sent home from school. Bewildered chickens went to their roost. Frightened cattle returned to their stalls. The night birds whistled and the frogs peeped as they did at midnight. Somebody wrote a poem about the day. 19th of May, a gloomy day, when darkness veiled the sky. The sun's decline may be a sign some great event is nigh. Scientists discovered what caused this. It was a fire in Ontario, a massive forest fire, and this smoke came through New England at that time. But it was very scary, very motivated. People were going back to church. And in Connecticut, of all places, and we think of Connecticut as a liberal state. We went to the Gaylord Park yesterday, and as we're going through the towns, it's Hebron, Gilead. Those are all Bible names. And my wife was saying, yes, when we did the parade last year, Daniel in the lion's den, a lot of people thought we were doing Lion King. That's how far we've gotten away from understanding the Bible and knowing the Bible. But in Connecticut, members of the legislative called the state council feared the dark day as a sign of judgment. Some members said, we need to get out of here. We need to abandon the session. But Abraham Davenport, and he became famous for this, Abraham Davenport earned lasting fame by his response. He said this, I'm against adjournment. The day of judgment is either approaching or it is not. If it is not, there is no cause for adjournment. If it is, and notice what he says, I choose to be found doing my duty. I wish, therefore, that candles be brought. The day of judgment is coming. And as Abraham Davenport said back in 1780 at the Connecticut legislative session, I want to be found doing my duty. That's why Paul told us about these perilous times. He didn't tell us about these perilous times so we can speculate and have conspiracy theories. No, he's saying, look, guys, this is the culture you are in. Don't be like it. Follow my example, my faith, my doctrine, my manner of life. Continue to grow. And that's our theme this year, 2020. Grow. Continue to grow. Continue when you see this list that your life is the opposite of it. And look at it today. Read it again. And say, Lord, reveal to me. Reveal to me what I need to change. And how I have allowed the spirit of the last days to influence my life. Let's be like Abraham Davenport. I want to be found doing my duty. Let's close in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your goodness, your love today. We thank you for your word. Lord, we live in dangerous times, scary times, unsettled times. Lord, we're living in a day right now where everything has been turned upside down. Lord, but we know, as Paul said, we need to stay and remain in the things we've learned. We need to continue to grow and know you. We know that this time has happened so we can grow. And we give you the praise and we give you the glory. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless, and we'll see you next.